everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with Ed Alexander on the other side of the glass, keeping things in order for us on this Monday at high noon on October the 27th, 2014. Coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We're live streaming two places. You can get the stream at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com and the podcast. That's our podcast situation that we make all of our shows available since we began this project in January 2011. You can find them at buckmastershow.com. A shout out to the media sponsors, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, Green Valley News, and Sahurita Sun, and our newest media partner, Tucson Lifestyle Magazine and TucsonLifestyle.com. We begin with our Monday political face-off, followed at 12:30, Dr. John Galgiani. He is the director of the UA Valley Fever Center for Excellence. Some excellent news concerning the battle to get a handle on Valley Fever. Some encouraging news there we'll be telling you about. And then Dr. Mark Sykes, CEO of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute, will help us as we close out the show. The live line number, you're welcome to join us, 790-2040 at any time during the hour. And our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. Our Monday political face-off features today commentators John Munger. Mr. Munger is a Tucson attorney. He's former chair of the Arizona Board of Regents, 2010 Republican candidate for Arizona governor. And we have attorney Vince Robigo with us, longtime Democrat Party activist, former Arizona Attorney General candidate. And Vince is chair of the Hispanic Caucus of the Pima County Democrat Party. The Monday political face-off is sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, right by Copenhagen, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Vince and John, how are you gentlemen today?
Good.
Doing well. Thanks for having us here.
Well, this is the first, really, we've got just this one full week before election day.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. I was just going to say, finally, maybe these robocalls will stop. My wife and I voted, it seems like, maybe like 2 weeks ago, and we're still, as of yesterday, I'm rushing to the phone, of course, right in the middle of something, and it's another one of the robocalls.
Right.
I thought they were supposed to stop after you voted early, but I guess not.
No. Well, I don't even take the calls anymore.
I
don't even take them.
Vince, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm getting all kinds of Republican calls. I don't know how I got on their list, but
we're trying to convert you, Vince.
Apparently, so.
You're on our radar.
I am bipartisan
screen
on many issues, so maybe that's what's happening here.
Gentlemen, there is an issue that's happening up in Navajo Land. The center of Navajo Land is Window Rock, and it's a legal battle. And Vince, basically, the bottom line would be that the Navajo Nation may not vote a week from tomorrow for their new president. If that happens, it could really impact, because Navajo Land voters are heavy Democratic voters, it could impact CD1 and some of the statewide races. Can you kind of summarize this legal issue?
Sure. It's a pretty simple issue at the bottom of it, and that is that the Navajo Nation has a fluency requirement in Navajo for their president. But there has never been any sort of legal standard for that. And so some folks challenged the fluency of one of the primary challengers, Chris Discini. Point of disclosure, I'm afraid he's a friend of mine. I think he'd be a great president of the nation.
He did well. He ran statewide Secretary of State.
Secretary of State 4 years ago. Also served in the legislature. He's a former Marine veteran, attorney, private business owner. But so they challenged him, and because there's no standard, he refused to take the test that an administrative judge wanted to give him. Mm-hmm. The judge said he was disqualified. The elections board put him back on the ballot. And then somebody appealed it to the Supreme Court. And then there was
the Navajo
Supreme Court, correct. They have their own judicial system. They're a sovereign entity. And so what happened is apparently there was a deadline missed as to whether or not the merits of the issue would be heard, which mm-hmm. would mean he would not be on the ballot. But at the last moment, I think it was Thursday night, very mm-hmm. late, the Navajo Executive Council changed the law and said that it is the voters of the Navajo Nation that get to decide fluency, not an election board, not an administrative law judge. Mm. And that would have therefore made him eligible because the voters get to make that decision. I think that's the right call. But there's a timing issue. Mm-hmm. What happens is the president right now, Ben Shelley, has 10 days in which to either sign or veto any law that's come to him. So there's not enough time. If he wants to push out the time window,
he could push back the election.
And that presidential election would not be held on November 4th, then on the same date that the state elections would be held. So that's the issue. And so everyone is waiting with bated breath today to see what President Shelley's going to do today and whether or not there will be just going forward with the election or not.
Because, John, this could impact big time CD1 in the Tobin and Kirkpatrick race. Kirkpatrick is very strong in Navajo land. She speaks, I believe, Apache. I don't know if she speaks Navajo, but she's popular.
It could be a big factor in that race, less so in the statewide races. That's a congressional race that happens to take in Navajo land. And sure, if fewer Navajos show up, that could be several thousand votes less for Kirkpatrick, and similarly, less votes cast in the state for the Democratic candidates.
Fred Duvall,
Terry Goddard, Secretary of State, and the Felicia Rodolini for AG. So, but. You know, that's up to the Navajos. They need to decide what they're going to do, and we're just all going to have to roll with those punches. Either way, I think all the candidates, certainly the Republican candidates and the polling, already counts the Navajos in mm-hmm. as voting people. So if they vote, then there's no change for us. If they don't vote, then that's going to affect the Democrats negatively.
Here we are. Let's get your predictions. We're only about, we will not have you gentlemen. We'll have our other team of commentators next Monday. So this will be your last visit to the show before the election. Vince, how do you think the slate of the Democrats will do statewide?
Well, I think they're going to do very well. I think, however, at this moment in time, I think it is a toss-up in both the gubernatorial race with Fred Duvall. It's so close that it's hard to predict. It's all going to depend on what the turnout effort is this last week or so. Same thing with Felicia Rodolini. And the reason why I say that these races are essentially dead even is the Democratic ticket on those two particular races have been outspent by massive amounts of dark, unregulated corporate money attacking them. In the AG's race, for example, the Republican Attorney General's Association, with the assistance, it appears, of our utilities in this state, Pinnacle West, which is a parent company of the utility, largest utility, the utility alone spent over $500,000 donating to the Republican AG PAC. And so you have a 6-to-1 spending difference with a lot of, as we've seen too much on both sides, a lot of these very negative, attack sort of ads. And sometimes that drowns out, the qualifications of any candidate with respect to really what they stand for, what their resume is. Mm. And so that sort of attack, I think, is what has kept Ducey in the race and has also brought this other contender for the AG on the Republican side up, and that's why those races are so close.
Mr. Brnovich, John, what do you think?
Well, there's dark money being spent on both sides, and the Democrats always talk about the corporate money coming in. They don't want to talk about all the union money coming in for the Democrats and the Democratic National Party has raised huge amounts of money, more than the Republicans, and they're throwing that money in these races. But in the end, the numbers I've seen show that both Ducey's going to win, Brnovich for Attorney General is going to win, The only one, in my opinion, that's up for doubt is the Secretary of State race between Terry Goddard and Michelle Reagan. Michelle, about a week ago, was about 3 to 5 points down and coming on strong. So she may pull that out.
How about school superintendent? What is your
that
polling?
I don't have any feel for.
Yeah, well, I know, Vince, you've been following that one very closely.
I have.
John Garcia?
I have.
A friend of yours as well, right?
I have. David Garcia, excuse me. Is a military veteran, educator. He's been endorsed by chambers of commerce in both major cities, by newspapers across the state. He's an Army veteran, an educator, professional educator. And he's facing essentially a one-issue candidate that has refused to show up for about 30 debates or refuses to be interviewed by reporters. So people see through that, and I think he's going to win. I'm pretty hopeful that will be the result. With Goddard, I would disagree with John. I think that Terry Goddard has shown through his endorsements and through the support across the state why he's going to win the race. And just yesterday up in Phoenix on the Sunday square off, Michelle Reagan was on and had a disastrous appearance. Could not explain why she supported the birther bill requirement that was pushed a few years ago. Her vote for that to try to demand that it was during the whole attack on President Obama and demanding that he show his birth certificate.
Yeah, that's all over Facebook.
Yeah, it's all over the Phoenix area. It was all over, you know, obviously it was on TV. Mm-hmm. And she just, you know, almost a minute and a half of just sheer pain to watch how she, it was very difficult. John, you ought to take a look at that. It was very difficult.
Sounds interesting.
It showed, in my view, and I think, and I tried to look at it objectively, even though I'm a big Terry Goddard supporter,
sure,
that she wasn't ready for prime time.
Well, and that could be, and one turnout like that, Vince, I didn't see it, but I'll take your word for it. You know, that can really hurt a candidate. But I do think Doug Ducey is going to be our next governor, and I think that's going to be excellent. And I do think Brnovich, who's just a delightful man.
Do you know him?
Or? Yes, I know him, and he's a very, very strong prosecutor. You know, he's running against the Democrat candidate who's never prosecuted a felon in her life. Her signs say strong prosecutor. She's never prosecuted a violent criminal.
Hmm.
She had one case going where the criminal pled, and that was the only one she's been involved with. She is not a serious prosecutor. This guy's Brnovich has been a federal prosecutor, a state prosecutor, a county prosecutor. He's got all kinds of experience. He is your classic experienced prosecutor, and he's, most importantly, he's a delightful individual.
Is Felicia ready, John?
She's absolutely ready. And the problem with this pushing of this issue is that, contrary to what people are saying, the AG prosecutes very little street crime. That's the job of the county attorney's office. So he's applying for the wrong job by pushing that issue.
Well, then why does she have in her sign strong prosecutor?
Because you do a lot of different types of prosecution work, and I've done a lot of it. And I was a state civil fraud prosecutor for 5 years out of my 17 years, and I was prosecuting the hell out of corporate crooks in civil court.
All right.
So you got to look at the bigger picture here.
We're going to take a break right here. Ed, we will be right back on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us.
It's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Have you been taking your car to the Wicked Witch of the West for service?
I'll get you, my pretty, and your little fuel injection system, too!
Hi, this is Mike Emery at Perfection Auto Works, and despite rumors to the contrary, I am not
the great and powerful Wizard of Oz
of car repair. I do, however, enjoy performing miraculous recoveries on your family car or your exotic Jaguar, Mercedes, or Toyota. We specialize in Honda, Kia, Buick, Ford, Chevy, and even your grandmother's 1939 Packard. Call Perfection Auto Works at 323-8650. That's 323-8650 or perfectionautoworks.com.
There's no place like Perfection Auto Works. There's no place like Perfection Auto Works.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Get Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 per month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get your first month free. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 1/4/15. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
To the Buckmaster Show. It is our Monday political face-off sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe is he's the master when it comes to all of our framing needs. He's taken care of some beautiful custom frame mirrors for the bathroom. Check him out, moesgallery.com. They're at Fort Lowell and Dodge. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. John Munger and Vince Robigo with me. We're going to talk a little bit now about the Senate races. John, the Republicans looking pretty good in what, six or seven close races?
To put this in the context for your listeners, the Republicans need to pick up six seats, U.S. Senate seats, to control the Senate. That's net. We have seven that we're likely to win, with another three that we may win, But we've got two seats out there that are Republican seats that we could conceivably lose that are really toss-up seats right now. I think we've got Alaska. Here are the states I think we're going to win. Alaska, Colorado, South Dakota, Iowa, Arkansas, and West Virginia. That's six. And then I think... and I forgot Montana. That's seven. So I think we got seven seats that we can win. The question is whether we lose either Kentucky or lose our seat in Kansas. And then we've got three seats, which in order of likelihood are toss-ups, but in order to of likelihood, we might well pick up Louisiana, maybe North Carolina, and possibility a New Hampshire. So we've got a good chance of getting our net six seats.
What do you think, Vince?
I think it's exceedingly close. I think if you look at the races like Kentucky, for example, and I think that's a big one, you have Ms. Lundgren-Grimes, who's running against Mitch McConnell, and big development over the weekend. Both the biggest major papers in the state actually endorsed the Democratic challenger, Lundgren-Grimes, and said that Mitch McConnell was essentially no longer looking out for the interests of Kentuckians and was just in it for his leadership position. So that's a major development in the voting there. I think that one is going to tilt a Democratic. She's been a tough fighter. I think the independent in the Kansas race is going to come out. In Colorado, with Mark Udall, who is trailing slightly behind this extreme guy who was behind the personhood measure there.
Any Republicans extreme in your opinion?
No, Vince? No, I don't. I disagree. Not all Republicans are extreme, but this one was more extreme than the most. But the issue there is that's an all-male race for the first time ever, so it's hard to tell what's going to happen there. And then there's a couple of races that may throw this all into a state of suspense, because Georgia and Louisiana, for example, there are third-party candidates running, and if they siphon off enough votes, there may be a forced runoff in both of those two races. And we may not know who's going to control the Senate until January if that happens in those
two races. That's right. So
it certainly in some races, like I would agree, the Republicans are – it's tilting Republican. Others – not so much, and it's a real dogfight. So it's going to depend on what happens the last few days here in the election.
Well, I agree. It's a lot can happen in a week. But I think that we're going to – I think we've got at least seven seats that we're going to pick up before you start subtracting, possibly losing Georgia, possibly losing in Kansas, and the Louisiana seat would be a pickup. So if from our perspective, if that gets tossed into a runoff, then the third party candidate, who is a Libertarian candidate, gets thrown out, and you have a runoff between the incumbent Democratic Senator Mary Landrieu, and the Republican. Without a Libertarian taking away the Republican vote, I'd welcome that, because I think we'd pick that seat up.
Quickly, George P. Bush, who is running for, I think he's running for, I'm not sure what the office is, but he said in Texas, says his dad, former Florida Governor Jeb Bush, is moving forward on 2016. It's going to be interesting, because Romney has shown very well, John Munger, in the polls too. You could have Bush and Romney going head to head.
You could have any combination. I'll tell you, Christie's on his way back. Jeb Bush is getting into it. Romney, who knows? His wife says he's done.
Yeah.
But who knows? And then you've got other candidates out there that are just excellent candidates laying in the bushes. It's way too early to even begin to predict who might win the Republican nomination.
What do you think, Vince? Is America ready for another Bush?
America ready for another Clinton?
Well, if you have already had two Bushes, I think one Clinton, I think there's still some evening of the odds then. So until you have two Clintons, I don't think you can say that. But what I would say about Jeb Bush is that I don't think he's extreme enough to win the Republican primary.
Wow.
I think his issues on immigration would come back to his stances.
He's too moderate.
He's too moderate for the primary in the Republican Party. The other issue that's going to haunt him, and this goes way back to the father, if you remember the no new taxes breaking of the promise by the original George Bush, so to speak. He made some comments about 2 years ago that are already resurfacing now. Where he basically said he would take a dollar in taxes for every $10 in cuts that he could get in exchange. So already Grover Norquist and the taxpayers, anti-taxpayer, anti-government crowd are coming out hard against him. He's also one of the few national and many statewide type Republican candidates that has not signed on to the Grover Norquist no new taxes pledge.
Yeah.
So he's going to scare off, I think, a wide part of the Republican base.
I think that is an issue with Jeb Bush. Okay. And that's why I think that Christie, who I think is far more articulate, is going to be a real comer.
Okay. John Munger, Vince Robigo. Gentlemen, thank you very much. And we'll talk after the election.
Thank you. Should be very interesting.
The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. You can find them at Fort Lowell and Dodge, right by Copenhagen, moesgallery.com, and on Facebook, the place that we do all of our framing. And we urge you certainly to check them out. Beautiful location and shop. Check out Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. We'll be right back. It's 12:31 now on the Buckmaster Monday edition. Back right after this.
Five-star Termite and Pest Control's patented foam treatment process. Trusted to rid the military base on Johnson Atoll of termites. Trusted by Tucson and Southern Arizona residents to rid their homes of termites. Locally owned and operated since 1980. We know what bugs you. Five-star Termite and Pest Control. Our president began working on an alternative termite treatment process in the early 90s. In 2001, we were awarded a U.S. patent for developing this new method to protect homes from termites. Five-star, leading the pest industry in innovation from right here in Tucson. 886-0045 or fivestartermite.com.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Toto, we've just got to get home. Oh no, not the car. What now?
If I had had a brain, I would have taken the car to Perfection Auto Works.
Now my heart's breaking because I didn't take the car to Perfection Auto Works.
Gee, Dorothy, I should have had the courage to tell you to take the car to Perfection Auto Works for their free 26-point inspection.
Aw, nut.
No more excuses. You will take your car to Perfection Auto Works. Then you can go home.
Now click your heels 3 times and you will arrive at Perfection Auto Works.
Call Perfection Auto Works at 323-8650. That's 323-8650 or perfectionautoworks.com.
There's no place like Perfection Auto Works. There's no place like Perfection Auto Works. There's no...
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a 4-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River, or online at vscott.com. That's V-S-C-O-T.com.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell, and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS, that's 571-7847. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show as we push toward 12:36 on this beautiful Monday afternoon in late October in Tucson, Arizona. Well, a drug developed at the University of Arizona could cure Valley Fever. That drug has now been fast-tracked by the Food and Drug Administration. It's an antifungal drug that's been in development at the University of Arizona since 2005, but researchers have had trouble getting support for it because while valley fever is common in Arizona, it is a relatively rare disease outside of the Southwest. Joining me in studio, Dr. John Galgiani. Dr. Galgiani is the director of the UA Valley Fever Center for Excellence. He's also the project leader for the development of this new drug known as Nix-Z. He is also the medical director for a Tucson startup company called Valley Fever Solutions Incorporated, which is pretty much spearheading the development of this drug. Dr. Galgiani, how are you?
Fine. Nice to be here with you, Bill.
Tell me a little bit about Nicomycin Z.
Well, Nicomycin Z is actually not a new drug. It actually was originally discovered by Bayer Pharmaceuticals back in the 1970s. That's the German company. They were looking for a compound to use in agriculture as a fungal suppressant for crops like oranges and things. And they came across this particular drug called Nicomycin Z. And it was not until the 1990s when a friend of mine, Rich Hector, actually discovered that it would be useful to treat patients who have the fungal infection coccidioidomycosis, or more conveniently known as Valley Fever. And he actually got it started with a company in South San Francisco called Shaman Pharmaceuticals. But they went out of business in 2000. And for 5 years, from 2000 to 2005, there was really no pharmaceutical company willing to take on the continued development of this drug. And that's when the University of Arizona took that responsibility on. And the already started file at the FDA was transferred to the University of Arizona here 9 years ago.
You have been involved with Valley Fever research for how many years?
Well, I moved to my first and only job at the University of Arizona in 1978. Mm-hmm. So I do the math.
It's been a long time. And so my next question for you is this the most promising time to be associated with this kind of Valley Fever research?
Well, that's a great question. You know, there's actually been more awareness and focus on this disease in the last couple of years that I've seen since I got here in 1978. There was an article in the New Yorker magazine back in January going over this. So this is a magazine out of New York City looking at this southwestern disease. And one of the factors that's contributed to this is Kevin McCarthy, who, as you know, is the congressional leader of the Republican Party. His home district is Bakersfield, California, the valley of Valley Fever. And he's been very interested in getting something done about this. And David Schweikert here in Arizona has picked up the lead, and the two of them have actually co-chaired a task force in Congress about Valley Fever. So all of that, I think, has increased the awareness of this disease.
Valley Fever is not a curable disease technically at this point then.
Well, that's right. It's actually controlled very nicely by our immune system in many, many of the cases. But for the small number of people, which actually adds up to a rather large number, that don't control it because of their immune system, this gets to be a spectacularly difficult disease. And the drugs we have today are good, and they improve patients, but they only suppress the disease. And if you stop the treatment in many patients, it comes back.
Nicomycin Z will do what, hopefully? What will it do? It's an antifungal, but what does that mean? What will it do?
Right. Well, it's an antifungal because it inhibits an enzyme that only fungi have. The enzyme is called chitin synthase, which is an enzyme that produces a part of the cell wall of the fungus called chitin. And we don't make chitin in our bodies, so the target for this drug is very selective. It only inhibits fungi. And the effect of that, at least in the animal experiments, suggests that it actually could eradicate the infection rather than just suppress it. So we're kind of hopeful that if we can bring this to clinical trials, that that would be the case.
We're speaking with Dr. John Galgiani. He is the director of the University of Arizona Valley Fever Center for Excellence. He's also the project leader for the NICZ development team, which so far this has been very encouraging in trials with, mice. You use the mice. Did it cure them of the valley fever?
Yeah, it did if we use the drug therapeutically.
Now, a clinical trial is scheduled to begin in 2015. What will that consist of, Dr. Galgiani?
Well, we have a new small business grant from the NIH, and this will be used to enroll patients who have the earliest form of the disease. It's going to be very targeted to people with early pneumonia, actually the kind of disease that gets better eventually on its own. It may take many weeks or many months, and we're hopeful that in this trial we'll see evidence that the drug makes people better faster.
What are the symptoms of valley fever? How do you know if... Can someone tell if they suspect valley fever, or does that have to be determined through a blood test, or how is it determined?
Yeah, so valley fever often causes, in the most common presentation, is sort of a pneumonia. If your doctor says you have pneumonia in this city and also in Phoenix, it's about a one chance in three that it's actually due to the fungal infection and not a bacteria, which would be normally treated with antibacterial drugs. And you really can't tell those two things apart without specific laboratory tests. And this presentations are so similar.
So would you suggest someone who has been told they have pneumonia to get some kind of verification to ask their health provider, are you sure it's not valley fever?
I think it's a very reasonable question. In fact, not only do I think that's a good idea, but the Arizona Department of Health Services now recommends it, recognizing how frequently that kind of an illness is due to this infection. If you get diagnosed with a fungal infection, obviously using antibacterial drugs have no good and may have some side effects.
If you live in this area long enough, do you develop an immunity to valley fever?
You do. If you get infected, now the chances of infection are about one chance in 30 every year. So it doesn't, you can live here quite a while, actually, and the average time to getting infected and being reported to the state is about 12 years. So it's not in the first week or two, but those people who get valley fever and get over it because their immune system works, get over it, and then they're immune from this for life.
Now, the drug, if it is successful in the clinical trial, it would be given would it be a very expensive drug, or how does that work? We've heard of these cases lately where there's been some just incredibly expensive drugs.
Right. I think my focus is on trying to find out if it works and get it to market and then deal with the costs after that point. And I think, we have gotten this fast track and QIDP, which is Qualified Infectious Disease Product designation from the FDA. And that means that once we have something to show them, they'll look at it, they'll stop what they're doing and look at it quickly. But we still have to do all the studies that you need to do to show whether or not it's very useful.
How long would the clinical trial take?
Well, it depends on how much money you have. If we, at the rate we're going, running on research grants from the NIH and some philanthropic support, it's going to take a while. But if we can get a partner, which we are very hopeful we can do, in the pharmaceutical industry, we could cut that down probably to a 5-year window.
The Valley Fever Center for Excellence at the University of Arizona is having a forum. It's the 7th annual free public forum, providing an opportunity for the public to listen to a panel of experts, including Dr. Galgiani, who will be answering questions about Valley Fever. The forum is Sunday, November the 9th, from 1 to 4 in the afternoon at the Bio5 Institute on the U of A campus. That's on 1657 East Helen Street, room 103. The good news, there's free parking. So anyone that has any questions about Valley Fever, encouraged to come out. I guess that is one of the events for Valley Fever Week, isn't that
correct? That whole week we're having quite a few things.
Dr. Galgiani, thank you very much. Good luck with Z. Let's hope it all works out.
Thank you so much, Bill.
Thanks a lot. We'll continue on the Buckmaster Show. At 12:46, Dr. Mark Sykes joins us from the Planetary Science Institute right after this.
Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled. And that has made all the difference. Plutus Motor Group, we make the difference. View our collection of fine European imports and take the road less traveled. It's the experience. PlutusMotorGroup.com.
This is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. When you step out of your shower, you expect to be refreshed and, of course, cleaner than when you stepped in, right? The fact is, hard water builds up on your shower doors, stalls, fixtures, faucets, and on you. Let's be honest. If it's on your shower door and fixtures, it's on your skin, your hair, appliances, and plumbing too. What a mess. But take it from me, save yourself a lot of trouble, money, and headaches by saying, hey, Culligan man, Culligan has been solving water concerns for over 60 years. Our Culligan representative will do a system evaluation to ensure you get the right solution for your home and family. It doesn't matter whether you have city or well water, Culligan can make your water better with an easy solution that fits any budget. Try a Culligan water system for only $9.95 per month on the first 3 rental payments with an annual service agreement. Call us at 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tanqueverty Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Hemingway said, "It's good to have an end to journey toward, but it is the journey that matters in the end." Start your journey with Plutus Motor Group. You'll remember how you got there. Plutus Motor Group. It's the experience. PlutusMotorGroup.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by our friends in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. If you're looking for a great weekend getaway, yes, the autumn leaves, the changing colors in the Gila Wilderness, great opportunity to just kind of get away, kick back for the weekend. Just 3 hours to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Lots of great places to stay, including Little Toad Creek Inn and Casitas de Gila guest houses. You can find out about all the places to stay and the many things to do by visiting their website, southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome Dr. Mark Sykes, a regular contributor to the Buckmaster Show. Dr. Sykes, CEO and director of the Planetary Science Institute, celebrating its 42nd year here in Tucson as a nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. He is Dr. Sykes, former chair of the NASA Small Bodies Assessment Group. He's been very involved in the development of commercial human space flights. He's also an expert on comets. Did you know that comets... First of all, good to see you, Mark.
It's great to be here, Bill.
Did you know comets really smell bad?
Well, they've been hanging out in a bad part of the neighborhood, so I guess it's just natural.
What is the deal with that, this story?
You have hydrogen sulfide, you have ammonia. You know, these are all things that don't rest too well in the nose.
And then people are probably wondering, well, how do you know what a comet smells like? Well, I guess we're talking about the European Space Agency's star spacecraft, Rosetta, honing in on its target. So it's able with the what's the device that's picking spectrometer.
Yeah. They're kind of sniffing, if you will, the molecules that are in the vicinity of the comet that are coming off of it, and by determining what their composition is, then you can kind of put it together in an olfactory way.
Sour odor of rotten eggs, the dank aroma of a horse stable, the pungent aroma of formaldehyde, and the biting scent of alcohol. You got it. you could bottle that and not give that to your very close friends,
yeah,
I'll tell you.
Yeah.
About comets, we had a near miss on Mars, And this was Comet Sighting Spring that came very close. I guess the closest, veered 16 times closer to Mars than any comet has come to Earth in recorded history.
Yeah, it was like within 80,000 kilometers or so. It was very close, and I was part of a team that was trying to figure out the risk, the hazard to our number of spacecraft orbiting Mars, and we weren't too worried about the small particles, but big particles that had been ejected much further away from the sun could have been a problem if they actually got ejected, and we weren't going to find out until it got there. Mm-hmm. But NASA did what it could by positioning the spacecraft on the other side of the planet, and it was nice to say that nothing happened. I was hoping that we might see some meteor showers in the atmosphere, but there's been no report of that yet. But it could have been, you know, it was an awfully, if something impacting the surface of Mars at 56 kilometers a second would have been pretty dramatic.
Yeah, that could have really impacted our, as you say, we have multiple assets on the red planet. But it must make you feel pretty good that you were part of this team that kind of was researching where NASA should place certain things so
it was fun sets of calculations and a good group of people, and our end was led by Pasquale Tricarico, one of our senior scientists, and it was absolutely fascinating to try to figure out.
Well, I guess we now know what happens to the future of kind of space shuttles in this country. We're definitely going the privatization route. Boeing and a company called SpaceX got a huge contract, nearly $7 billion to shuttle cargo and astronauts soon to the International Space Station.
Yeah, Boeing has been developing its CST-100, which will have a crew of up to seven that it could take up to the space station. It's about 15 feet wide, and its purpose is just to go up to low Earth orbit. SpaceX has its Dragon 2, which also seats up to seven people. But both of those are planning to start shipping people in 2017. But there's still the NASA Orion capsule, which is kind of a one-size-fits-all. Let's go to beyond low Earth orbit, and that fits four people, and it's about 16 feet wide. But it's not going to start flying people until 2021. So I think that the private sector is really stepping in here, and it kind of begs the question of why are we launching this thing from the ground up to go further mm-hmm. beyond? Why don't mm-hmm. we use the private craft to get up to low Earth orbit and then have some kind of other reusable craft that we go to an asteroid or go to some other target and come back again and maybe reuse that vehicle?
That's a big boost for Boeing, though, in this area. I mean, it's got to be huge.
Yeah, Boeing got $4.2 billion. SpaceX got about $2.6 billion. Now I have to say that now the Orion spacecraft is also going to land in the water, uh-huh. just like the old Apollo guys.
Wow.
The Boeing spacecraft lands on land. It's a capsule. It's not like the space shuttle. So it comes down with parachutes and then it deploys some airbags and smacks the ground. But the coolest is the Dragon 2 because it comes in and it uses retro rockets to softly land on the ground. It does have some a parachute as a backup system, but it's tested this landing system showing that it works. But it's definitely the coolest.
Is Dragon X publicly owned or private?
SpaceX.
SpaceX. I mean, can you buy stock in that company, do you know?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it might be a good buy. Let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. Ingrid, go ahead. You're with Dr. Mark Sykes.
Good afternoon, Dr. Sykes. As a member of the Tucson Alpha Space Society, I'm delighted that SpaceX got a contract, the private enterprise situation here. By any chance, do you know if there were other bidders for that project?
Oh, yeah. Sierra Nevada was one, and because they didn't get it, they're suing. But that's the only other contract that I'm aware of.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Tucson Alpha Space Society has been around for quite some time, a few decades, and we meet monthly and speak about these things, and mm-hmm. We're absolutely delighted that that things are moving along so beautifully. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And actually, if it wasn't for the private sector, we'd be waiting for, well, it's not like Orion's not being built by the private sector, but if it wasn't for the initiative of these other companies, we'd be waiting four more years beyond 2017 before we get people back up.
Well, it really is the future, isn't it? The commercialization of space. That's that's really where we're going.
Though in this case, remember that the people they're selling the services to is the government.
That's still the major.
Yeah, they're the ones who are buying
the
services. That's
the client.
Now,
yeah.
There are other outfits like Virgin Galactic, mm-hmm. which are opening up a whole new business in space, which is the tourism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on us.
All right, Dr. Mark Sykes, thank you. We will see you in November. Where has this year gone?
Really?
Bottled water. Thanks, Mark. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, supplied by Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. We thank Culligan for supplying all of our in-studio guests with a nice chilled bottle of Culligan water. Buckmaster Show continues tomorrow, 12:04. Ed Alexander will be here. I will be here. And until then, we have 4 Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw this afternoon, 4 to 5. Then Ed will be back bright and early tomorrow morning with the Wake Up Tucson gang from 6 to 8. Then the Daily Double with Chris DeSimone from 8 to 9. Until then, we hope you have a great afternoon and evening. Back tomorrow.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.